I'm Patricia Pierce. Welcome to the Evolutionary Activist Podcast. We are living at an important moment in our history, a time that is calling us into a new way of being, a new consciousness from which a sustainable, just, and peaceful future can arise. In this podcast, we explore ways to help that future take hold within ourselves so that together we can help it come forth in our world. Hello, evolutionaries, and welcome to this week's podcast episode. If you listened to last week's episode where I talked about my experience of capsizing in a canoe during the winter, I want to pick up with that story. So if you haven't listened to that episode, you might want to just pause this now and go back and listen to it so that you have the context for this episode. Where I left off last week was I had managed to get out of the river that I'd been caught in by the current. And in that experience, of course, I surrendered to the current, which was so much stronger than I was. And I experienced this profound peace in the course of that surrender. Well, when I got out of the river then finally, and I could hear my husband Kip calling for me frantically, yelling, screaming for me, because he didn't know if I was even alive. He didn't know if I drowned. He didn't know what had happened to me. I could hear him in the distance, and I tried to yell back, and he only heard this like yelling, and he thought I was in dire distress. Anyway, he finally found me. And as we climbed up from the riverbank, we saw that there was a farmhouse not too far away. Now, we were in the Ozarks, so this was a pretty rural area, and there were not very many houses at all. In fact, I don't even know that we had seen any on our trip down the river to that point. But we saw this farmhouse. We also saw a truck pulling away and leaving just as we saw the house. So we didn't know what that meant. Was anybody there, or had the owner just left? And I was drenched and I was shivering, and we needed to find a place where I could get warm and where I could dry off. And so we headed for the house. Well, there was no car in sight, and there were also a couple of dogs in the yard that were barking very ferociously at us. We tried to do our best to set our fear aside, and we made for the front door. We managed to get past the dogs. They didn't attack us, fortunately. We got to the door, and nobody answered the door. So we tried the door, and it was unlocked. So we went into this house, because it was so obvious that if I didn't get indoors, if I didn't get dried off, I was probably going to die. This was before cell phones, of course. We had no way to contact anybody. And so we went into the house. I got my clothes off into the dryer. I borrowed some towels, wrapped myself up. My husband called. I believe he called the sheriff, he may have called the B&B where we were staying. I don't remember. I don't remember. Anyway, he hung up the phone, and shortly after, the phone rang. And we were thinking, do we answer it? Do we answer the phone in a house that doesn't belong to us? And we did answer it. And it turned out that it was the woman who owned the house, who apparently had heard that we were in her house, and she was not happy. Now, this whole experience was very interesting to me because it was so obvious to me that, sure, this wasn't my house, but my life was at stake. And that this idea that this house was private property, in that moment, that was completely irrelevant. What was important was that I be able to survive. And so that experience put things in a very different light for me about what sorts of situations trump other other situations and other norms that we might hold. Well, getting back to the story, the woman was on the phone. She was not happy that we were in her house. And she drove back and she found us in her home. She didn't press charges or anything. I suppose she could have, you know, trespassing. But she took us back to our B&B, and the canoe people, I guess, went back and retrieved the canoe where we had left it on the island. Or maybe my husband brought it to the shore. I don't know. That part of the story, I don't know, because I was down the river and I didn't see it. At any rate, what I learned from that experience was that we have these norms and conventions that we hold sacrosanct, and that we believe that these things, these privileges really that we have, are our own rights, and that we have every right to essentially build a wall around them and not to allow people in who might desperately need help. And as I've thought about this, and I've thought about, for instance, the refugee crises that are happening in the world, and when I think about the people who are at the border of our own country, desperate for life, it challenges us in terms of our values and who deserves what and what privileges actually are just that, they're privileges. And this also goes back to experiences in my life where I helped a family across the border in Arizona many, many years ago who were fleeing El Salvador. Their lives were in danger from death squads in the military. And I helped people across the border. And I accompanied a woman and her family in Guatemala who were likewise experiencing danger and threats from death squads. I talk about these experiences in my book, my memoir, Beyond Jesus. So these issues are issues that I hold very dear to my heart. And I've had the opportunity in my life to see these situations from a different perspective. And I understand that people who are fleeing their homes are fleeing their homes not because they just have a whim to go somewhere, but they are desperate for their lives. They are desperate to find a place where they can survive. Just as I, in that moment, in that experience in the Ozarks, I was desperate to find a place where I could get what I needed, get the help that I needed, so that I could survive. My life was at stake. And I understood that that was far more important than someone else's so-called private property rights. Now, I understand that that perspective can make us a little bit anxious. Where, you know, how far do we push that? Where are appropriate boundaries? And I understand that. And I understand that it's a complex situation. Nonetheless, I think we need to put ourselves in the shoes of those who are in such dire situations, to just imagine for a moment, if we can, what it's like to be in that kind of a situation where we have no other option but to encroach, if you will, on someone else's, quote, territory. And so I wanted to share the rest of that story with you, because these two stories, really, these two sort of chapters of that one experience brought very unique perspectives to me. This one element of this one teaching of the power of surrender and giving over to those things that might be out of my control, and in that experience, discovering this deep, deep peace. And then in the aftermath of that, this franticness to survive and to get what I needed and to find what I needed and to, yes, trespass in order to find what I needed to survive. So I'm not going to moralize anymore about those stories. I leave that experience with you to ponder in your own way and to take in your own way and to do with it as you will. And until next week, I bid you peace.